The book of Leviticus, it instructs Israel on how to approach God and how Israel should maintain their relationship with God or their walk with God. Last week, we looked at the various offerings in the first seven chapters of Leviticus. This week, we look at the priesthood. In order to approach God, a Jewish worshiper needed not only an offering, but also the mediation of a priest. Thus, the institution of the priesthood to conduct the sacrificial ritual was the next step in implementing Israel's communion with the Holy God. Interesting thing to take note of as we go through Leviticus, as we go through the Old Testament, looking at the typology. Interesting to take note that Jesus is not only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is not only the offering, he is also the high priest, our great high priest. And so as we look at chapters 8 through 10, keep that in mind as we go. Chapter 8, verse 1 of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. And so what they're doing now is they're consecrating Aaron and his sons for the priesthood. He said to the children of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Back in Exodus chapter 29, the Lord gave Moses the instructions on how to consecrate Aaron and his sons for the priesthood. Here in Leviticus chapter 8, it's being implemented. If you were to compare the chapters side by side, they're almost word for word. So we've been down this road before, okay? We're going to go through this, but I'm just going to make brief comments to the various topics as we go through because we've already covered it in some depth. Verse 6 says, then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. And you remember that was the way the high priest would discern the will of God. The words actually mean lights and perfection. Some think it might have been a black and a white stone, people coming with a yes-no question. We really don't know what it is, but it was the way that the high priest would discern the will of God. Verse 9 says, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And again, remember, engraved on that golden plate was the saying, holiness to the Lord. Also, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So herein again, Moses is following through with the instructions that God has given him. First thing he does is he washes Aaron. He cleanses him. Then he clothes him in the high priestly garments. Remember the ephod that was attached with the two onyx stones that had the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on them. And of course, the breastplate that had the 12 precious stones, again, with the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on those. So he's washed, he's clothed, then he's anointed with oil. It's pretty neat when you look at the comparison of the high priest of Israel with the priesthood of believers. For the Bible does say that we are a kingdom of priests. In reality, what we need, first of all, is to be washed. We need to be cleansed, the washing of regeneration. And then we need to be clothed. We need to be clothed in Christ's righteousness, for our own righteousness in the eyes of God are but filthy rags. And then we need the anointing. We need the filling of God's Spirit. We need him working in us and through our lives. So we move on to verse 13. It says, then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes and put hats on them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering. And again, remember, this was the symbolic of transferring the guilt, the sin, to the animal. Verse 15, and Moses killed it. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger, and purified the altar, and he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal, he burned with fire outside the camp, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And remember, we talked about that last week. So the sin offering was offered. Some of it was offered on the altar, but the rest of it was burned outside the camp. It was a picture of what Jesus would do in dying outside of the gates, the walls of Jerusalem, but it went deeper than that. It said he is the one who is outside of Judaism, and we need to go outside of the covenant system, the old covenant sacrificial system, to him so that we can be, so that we can come to God. I want you to notice through this that Moses is the one that's acting as priest here, and Aaron and his sons are acting like common people. You see, Moses is initiating this. He is consecrating Aaron and his sons for the priesthood. Then they will take over and be doing this for the children of Israel. First thing they needed to do, though, was take care of the sin issue. So the sin offering is offered first, and then we come to the burnt offering in verse 18 that they would offer. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Remember last week we talked about the significance of the offerings, or the symbolism of the offerings. The sin offering to atone for sin, the burnt offering, wholly consumed upon the altar, is like a consecration or a complete dedication of oneself to the Lord. And so here, as the high priest and his sons are being consecrated, first their sin is dealt with, the sin issue is dealt with, and then the total giving of themselves to the work of the Lord. Then we come to the second ram in verse 22, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also, he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. I believe the symbolism here is that these guys are being fully set apart for the work of the Lord. The blood upon the ear, that they might hear, that their ear might be set apart to the Lord, to hear his voice. And oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God. How important it is for you and I to know what God's will is, what God's plan is for our life. We have his revealed will sitting in front of us in the scriptures. We also have him speaking to us by his Spirit. How do we know what to do with the many decisions that we face? We need to know how to hear his voice. We need to have our ear consecrated, set apart to hear his will. I remember many years ago, I was a Christian, but many years ago, I had a big decision to make. It wasn't a spiritual decision. It was just a secular decision. I was living in this house. I'd been renting. I'd never owned a house in my life. And for those of you who have gone through that process, you know it's a lot more comfortable to rent than it is to buy, at least from that mindset. Anyway, the owner of the house came to me and he said, "We're selling the house." And I'd lived in it for a number of years. I was comfortable there. And he said, "Look, I'll give you first, you know, dibs on it if you want it." Oh, man, I never buy. You know, it's either I have to move, I have to buy a house. Big decision. I cry out to the Lord, "God, what should I do? I really need to hear from you now," you know. But you know what went through my mind was that I was not accustomed to hearing his voice. I was not accustomed to asking him on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. I was not in that habit. So the terror of the whole thing just mounted as I realized I'm probably going to not know if he speaks or not, you know. And so it's so important that our ears be set apart to hear his voice, that we get in the practice of a daily dependency upon the Lord, to seek him consistently, so that we can become accustomed and tuned to his voice. The putting of the blood on the right thumb, I believe, speaks of doing that which the Lord wants you to do. What you put your hand to is the work of the Lord. And that's so important as well. The things that we do, are they for God's glory? Are they for the glory and the advancement of his kingdom? Or are we using our own talents for us, for our glorification? Oh, that we might use our lives, that they might be wholly consecrated unto him so that he would be honored, that he would be glorified, that our ear would be set apart to hear his voice, that our hands, everything that we would do in view of the glory of his kingdom, and finally, the blood on the big toe, that we would walk in the path that he has for us. I firmly believe that God has a plan for every single one of our lives. He has his perfect plan. I'm just so thankful that he has his plan B and C and D and all the way through the alphabet, because I think I've missed plan A a long time ago. And I believe I know what that was. I'm not going to share that with you, but I believe I know what that was. And I'm just so thankful that he gives us another chance and he can take the plan he had and modify it. I can still use you. But God has a plan for us. And it's so important that we walk in the path that he has for each one of us. Moving on to verse 25, it says, then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. The idea of the wave offering is you have this in your hands, and they would extend it out to the altar and bring it back. And it was symbolic of giving it over to the Lord, dedicating it to the Lord. Verse 28, and then Moses took from their hands and burned them on the altar, on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma that was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood, which was on the altar, and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. Remember we talked about the tabernacle 2 weeks ago and the estimated cost of it, $13 to $15 million today to build that, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the fine linen, finely embroidered linen. We think of the high priest's outfit and the fine linen, the precious jewels on the breastplate and all. And here is Moses bringing blood and sprinkling it on him. See, they weren't just playing church, were they? Now let's just get dressed up and let's go through our ritual. Think of what it must have been like at the altar of burnt offering. After multitudes of animals had been sacrificed there and the blood, as it's telling us, poured out at the base of the altar. It must have been a gory mess. So when they came in there, they had the stark reality of the seriousness of what was going on. Something had to die because of their sin. Something had to die to make a way for them to get to God. And again, this is what Leviticus is about. How do they approach God? How do they maintain their walk with God? It was a constant reminder of the seriousness of the issue. And of course, all of that points to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he gave up his life and he shed his blood so that we can have access to God, so that we can walk with him on a daily basis. Verse 31 says, Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings. As I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire. And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So they went through this ritual, and they went through the ritual for 7 days as they were being consecrated, set apart for this ministry. But now as we come into chapter 9, the ministry begins. We read, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. Now that Aaron and his sons are consecrated for the ministry, the first thing they need to do as they're starting out their ministry is deal with their sin and bring an offering for their sin to the Lord. And verse 5 says, so they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. Again, the whole reason God instituted this sacrificial system is so that Israel could have access to him, so that they could have fellowship. So do this, the ministry's beginning. Bring the offerings in, and the glory of the Lord is going to appear to you. Verse 7, and Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Aaron's first sin offering for himself is a calf. I find it ironic because he made a calf a couple months earlier out of gold. Do you remember that? He first needs to deal with his sin. Verse 9, then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. The fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. And then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar, and he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. So Aaron has taken care of his sin offering, his burnt offering, then he comes to the people's offerings. Verse 15, then he brought the people's offering, took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar. And the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail that covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and they put the fat on the breast, then he burned the fat on the altar. With the breast and the right thigh, Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord as Moses had commanded. And so here with the people's offerings, they have the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, and the wave offerings. All the offerings, for the most part, we talked about last week, they've brought as they're coming for the first time here to the tabernacle as the ministry is beginning. And now we look at verse 22, and it says, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. Remember that the altar of burnt offering is 4.5 feet high. So he's up there offering the offerings. Then he comes down, he blesses the people. Now we find out from Numbers chapter 6 what that prescribed blessing was. And interestingly enough, probably every single one of us knows what it is. It's this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What a wonderful benediction. What a wonderful thing to pray over someone or to bless someone with. The Lord bless you and keep you, protect you. What a wonderful prayer to pray for our children. The Lord make his face, his favor, shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Wonderful benediction. Well, we read in verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. So here and again is the beginning of the ministry. The glory of God appears and fire comes out. Remember the pillar of cloud that would be above the tabernacle? And of course, there was the pillar of fire at nighttime. Well, here before the Lord comes fire, consumes the sacrifice upon the altar that's already burning there on the altar. I think showing that he accepts their sacrifice. And the response of the people, they scream. They shout and they fall on their faces, undoubtedly, in reverence before the Lord. What an awesome moment that's taking place with the children of Israel. And then we come, though, to chapter 10. And it says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. So here come Nadab and Abihu, maybe caught up in the excitement of the moment, I don't know. But they take their censers, and it says they put strange fire. Some translations say unauthorized fire. The bottom line, it's not what the Lord commanded. Some people think maybe they got the coals from someplace other than the altar of burnt offering. Some think that maybe it was just the wrong time to do it, because we've already read that the priest was to bring the incense and offer it in the morning and in the evening. So whatever it wasn't what the Lord commanded. And you notice the seriousness of the issue. They didn't approach God on his terms. And so they didn't approach God. This is a serious issue for everyone. For those who come to God must come to him on his terms. Make no doubt about it. God will accept anyone just as they are, but you have to come his way. And his way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are those who say, well, you know, I believe in God. I worship God in nature. There's coming a day where they will experience what Nadab and Abihu experienced by coming to God on their own terms. Remember, the whole point of the book of Leviticus is to show how God's people can approach him and maintain that walk with him. They had to come his way. And so that is carried over. That's a picture of what is like today. The only way we can approach God is through Jesus Christ. The only way we can have our sins forgiven is through the sacrifice for sins, Jesus Christ, and maintain that relationship with him. It says, fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, verse 3 again, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Before all the people, I must be glorified. Maybe this is implying that Nadab and Abihu were not honoring God, that they weren't esteeming him highly. Maybe, again, they were caught up in the moment. I don't know. Maybe they thought, hey, this is exciting. I mean, the fire of God is falling and everybody's falling on their faces. Hey, we're priests. We got robes on. Let's go, you know, move our little censers around and offer some incense. You know, it's really important that those whom God uses make sure that God gets all of the glory, because God will not share his glory with anyone. It's the human thing to do to want to take some of the glory and let some of the attention be pointed towards the instrument. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Too often people are pointing the attention to themselves. We're supposed to be reflecting God's glory. We're supposed to be allowing the Lord to work in us and work through us and reflect his glory to the rest of the world, so that they would not glory in us, but they would glory in the Lord. when you look in a mirror, you see a clear image. You know, the only time you notice a mirror is when it's dirty, when something's wrong with it, and when somebody is looking at the reflector, there's something wrong. There's something dirty there. There needs to be a clean heart and a pure heart and a giving of the glory to the Lord and not taking it unto ourselves. Possibly that's what was happening. The implication might be that. But Aaron, we find, held his peace. Verse 4 goes on to say that Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes." These were outward signs of mourning. "Lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. So the cousins came to take Nadab and Abihu out and to bury them. But for Aaron and the sons, they couldn't even mourn. You see, had they mourned, they could have been implying that what God did was unfair. If they didn't mourn, the message they were communicating was God's judgment was just. And his judgment was just. But it must have been hard. It must have been hard for Aaron and his other sons. Verse 8 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, 'Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die.'" Hey, I wonder if this is a little hint, maybe, of what happened. Here, the Lord is speaking to Aaron, one of the few times that the Lord does that, speaking directly to Aaron right after this incident happened. And he said, "Make sure that you don't drink before you go into the tabernacle, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." This is reiterated in the New Testament. As Paul is writing to Timothy and to Titus, he says, make sure that the overseers, the bishops, the elders, the pastors, that they're not given to wine. It's the same reason that you'll have a clear mind, that you'll be able to accurately discern between the good and the bad. And you know, the pastor, it's not a 9-to-5 job. You got to be ready at all times. An overseer in the church, you have to be ready at any time, because crisis doesn't just come between 9 to 5. It can happen at any time. But what about for any Christian? I mean, shouldn't we all be ready to be used by the Lord and have a clear mind, not fuzzed out at all on anything for that matter, but ready, willing, and able to be used by the Lord when he needs us? Verse 12, "And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord, for so I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, your daughters with you, for they are your due and your son's due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded." So herein Moses is instructing them on their portions of the offering and to eat it and whatnot. But then in verse 16, "Then Moses made careful inquiry about the goat of the sin offering, and there it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron who were left, saying, 'Why have you not eaten the sin offering in a holy place? Since it is most holy, and God has given it to you to bear the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. See, its blood was not brought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in a holy place, as I commanded.' And Aaron said to Moses, 'Look, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? They were to eat this offering. They didn't do it. Moses got angry. Things were not going well. But Aaron spoke up and said, look, we've gone through the sin offering, the burnt offering. Look what's happened to my kids. If I'd gone ahead and eaten this, our portion, you think that would have been acceptable to the Lord? Maybe what he's saying is, look, how can I feast on this offering on the outside when I'm really fasting on the inside, when I'm really mourning and devastated on the inside? It would be hypocrisy. And I think what he's saying is, yeah, I know the letter of the law. We're supposed to eat it, but the spirit of the law, I would be a hypocrite if I did that. And Moses' response in verse 20, and so when Moses heard that, he was content. Perhaps that's the issue. It was a hard day. This is the beginning of the ministry here. Two people are dead, and they're the priests. You see how serious this was for them? Now, it would be nice to say, glad we're not back there. I mean, I'm glad we're not, but be nice to say that and go, it's not as serious today. But you know, it is serious today. It is serious how we approach the Lord. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, New Testament, New Covenant. They come in before the apostles, bringing a portion of what they had sold. Being hypocrites was the problem. And they were struck dead, both of them. Now I'm glad that doesn't happen today, because the church, I mean, we wouldn't need a building, you know. It's good that we have Jesus that we come to. I mean, he is the fulfillment, again, of the offerings of the high priest. The last scripture that I have is, this is the main point of the thing we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. I'm so thankful that we come to God through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, and not through this sacrificial system. But make no doubt about it, it's still a serious issue. We need to realize that. That being a Christian is not just something you tag on your belt buckle. That's something I do on Sundays, you know. Being a Christian is to be a life wholly given over to the Lord and allowing him to work in and through us. It's a serious issue. And we're all going to stand before him one day. He loves every one of us so much, but we're all going to be accountable. You realize that? For the way we've lived our lives. To me, this has been a real sobering, you know, just shot in the arm. Going through this. I know it's Old Testament, but I know there's implications and principles to be gleaned from it that apply to us. Shall we stand? If you've never come to faith in Christ, he is the way to have your sins forgiven and to enter into a relationship with him. And the way you do that is not through blood sacrifice. You do that through confession. Saying, Lord, forgive me, the sinner. And come into my heart and make me the man, the woman, the boy, the girl you want me to be. God has gone to great lengths to save every single one. He's left the choice up to us. He's giving you the choice, if you've never made the choice, to ask Jesus into your life. To ask him to forgive you for your sins. And to be not only your Savior, but also the Lord of your life. If you want to do that, I encourage you to come forward at the close of this song. And the elders of the church will be here to pray with you. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. He's made a way so that we can be with him now and forevermore. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And thank you that you've gone to great lengths and that you've demonstrated your love in sending your son to die a cruel death on Calvary's cross. And I pray that you would instill in the hearts of every one of us the reality of your ways. And I pray that you would work in us and through us, and that our ear and our hands and our feet would be set apart, sanctified, consecrated to you. That you would use these who have come here this morning for the honor and glory and advancement of your kingdom, Father. That you would be magnified. And if there are any here who don't know you, I pray, Father, that they would come to you on your terms. In Jesus' name, amen.